This is the Friday, July 12, 2024 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Optimal weather for harvest and pollination pressured the trade. For the week, the nearby wheat contract fell 40 cents, and the September corn contract lost 9 cents. China broke the seal on placing orders for new crop, but limited weather concerns cast the bigger shadow over the soy complex. The August soybean contract shed 61 cents, while August meal decreased $18.40 per ton. December cotton expanded by 29 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, August Class 3 milk futures weakened 40 cents. The livestock market was lower. August cattle shed 405, August feeders cut 283, and the August lean hog contract lost 73 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index weakened 73 ticks. August crude oil contracted 79 cents per barrel. COMEX gold added 2270 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index was down almost 11 points to settle at 577.65. Joining us now is regular market analyst Matthew Bennett. You got a smile. I don't know how.
Markets went up today.
Let's start with wheat. Then we'll get into the report. Today's report is more of a, is it a confirmation of 2 weeks ago or is it a leader?
Okay, let's if you want to talk wheat.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially what the report told you is that, yes, this is a big crop. As far as the total wheat crop size, 134 million bushels higher. And so they toyed with demand just a little bit, but bottom line is you took carryout up 100 million. Now I will say this, or 98, but I will say this, Paul. If you look at the world balance sheet, you continue to see some restriction or constriction of the world balance sheet to whereas we're still kind of drawing stocks down a little bit. Overall, you've got to think that that will keep you from an absolute plummet in the market over the long term. And the wheat market's been beat up bad enough over the last several weeks anyway. I've got to think we'll find some footing. But boy, after the report, we certainly dropped double digits.
Speaking of big carryouts, how about that corn carryout?
That was an interesting report, to say the least. I will say this, Paul. Whenever I first saw, the first number I saw was new crop carryout at 2097. I said, "What? Thank you, but what is this?" You know. And so, you know, essentially what happened was with old crop, Paul, they took feed and residual usage up 75 million bushels, which is interesting considering the June quarterly stocks implied usage was 120 million bushel lower than what the trade had expected. And so you would expect that usage would have gone down, correct? You know, but essentially you saw exports go up 75, which I can get along, I can get on board with that. But exports the last 2 or 3 weeks concern me a little bit. We're still competitive in the market, but in the world market. But as far as feed and residual usage, I was very surprised to see them raise that. It's a good thing for us, clearly, but I was not expecting that. And then feed and residual for next year is just out of this world.
But is it a compensation for other reports or other sentiment?
That's a really good question. But what I'm going off of is what were stocks at the June 1st? You know, what were June 1st stocks? And they were more than we all thought that they were. So it's very interesting to come in here and say, actually, usage is a lot better than what we all thought, even though just a couple weeks ago, we told you usage is not as good as what we all thought, you know, and so maybe you're looking at last year's crop, maybe having to constrict that just a little bit. I will say basis levels, especially out here in West, are awfully good. Even in my part of Illinois, there's a lot of corn on the farm. USDA said 3 billion bushels, okay? But basis levels are awfully strong. Why? Because people have been stubborn, you know, about selling corn, and so they're kind of waiting around. Basis trying to do the work. But at a place like ADM Decatur, where I'm close to, whenever, even basis included, I mean, from 3 weeks ago, we're about 50 cents lower on the cash price.
This is the most questions I've had in quite some time. And they're pretty much everything you just said in that sentiment. But I have one I want to give you specifically here. This was Keith, came off of X. When will the producer cry uncle and move old crop grains and oil seeds in order to make room for new crop? Or will they leave it in storage and deliver new crop at harvest?
That's a really good question. Essentially, it's been very hard for the producer to take a look at, hey, here's what my old crop's worth. Here's what I had invested in that 2023 crop. More so, here's what my 24 crop cost me to put it in. You know, are they going to sell 24? Either one of them, Paul, if we're going to be clear about it, are going to be sold with the producer not making money on those bushels. It's not fun to talk about, but that's the bottom line. And so it makes it so hard to make sales. I get it. But the problem, Paul, once you hold old crop bushels past pollination, if you're in a year, which is relatively speaking, a very large carryout year, especially compared to the previous few years, it's typically not real good for price action. So you've seen these folks trying to get a hold of bushels, right? You see basis narrowing up. Bottom line is this, the producer's been tight-fisted. Once these bushels start moving, I'm very concerned once you get into the month of August that you could really see basis go away from you very quickly, because in the South, they're gonna start harvesting fairly early. Any folks that in my part of the world that started planting in April with a hot summer, when I get home from Farm Progress Show, I know where I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be in the seat of a combine.
Well, we have more. I have a couple other new crop questions we'll get to in plus, but I need to get to soybeans for a minute because it's almost the same as wheat and corn here. It's like copy paste of still a large carryout, still a great crop. Potential is out there. Let's start old crop. Again, you're going to have to sell something to make this market move.
You know, I don't see as many stocks of old crop beans as what the trade told us as far as June 1st was concerned. I mean, a lot of the originators out there are like, where are the beans? We're having a hard time finding the beans. And so that's kind of an interesting dynamic that we're dealing with. But is the producer going to sell beans? If they've got them, I've got to think they'll go ahead and reward the market somewhere in here. It's very concerning to see, for instance, new crop beans fluttering around on both sides of $11. Yeah. Anytime we get above 11, which last week we were above 11, and Paul, I talked about in my newsletter, hey, we probably ought to be considering selling some of these beans. I had several people reach out and say, don't you think they have a shot at going to 12? No, I really don't, you know.
Do you think it has just as much of an opportunity to go to 12 as it does to 9?
Boy, that's a really good question. But I would say it's got as much opportunity to go to 12 as it does to 9, but a much greater opportunity to go to 10 is what it does to 12. I'm firmly confident, and I don't take joy in saying this, but there's going to be a lot of cash being sold with a 9 in front of them this fall. If they're sold across the scale, I've got to think. So if you've got cash needs for fall, let's stop and look right now at what you can get. What are your cash needs? Lock something in. Lock in a worst-case scenario, because I'm pretty concerned, especially when you look at that new crop world balance sheet. You know, you're talking just a massive increase over the two-year period from 100 million tons of beans up to 128. I mean, that's just a massive increase over the two marketing years that the USDA gave us. And why is that? Well, Safrasa Mercado said here this week that they see 171 million metric ton crop out of Brazil next year. That's a big crop. That'll be the 19th year in a row they've planted more soybeans.
And we have a question about Brazil, and there's rumors in Brazil. So what do I do if I read things on a global scale, and I'm sitting here with a new crop, and it's hovering around 1050, and you're telling me 9. So just, you're telling me to book something.
I am.
Right now.
I am. Here's the problem. Whether we're talking corn or beans, for a lot of folks, Paul, booking something right now does not mean that we're going to make money. It's not a fun topic to talk about, you know, but here's the thing. What is the potential of the market? Is there still downside risk? Absolutely. And so if there's downside risk and I'm in a position that I can go ahead and lock in something, whatever it is, whether it's a smaller loss than what I'm afraid of, go ahead and lock something in, and then you use risk management just in case you get some sort of a recovery rally. But I would say the risk for the producer is still to the downside right now.
Let's go to livestock for the live cattle sense. All of a sudden, there is a flashing technical sign that I think has some attention. What is it?
Oh, I mean, you know, as far as cattle are concerned, I want to go here first. As far as feeders went this week, it was not a great week. Right? But overall, you've got to ask yourself this, Paul. What is the cash market doing? I had guys asking me last night, I was in northwestern Iowa, should I be buying $3 feeders? You know, and I said, well, what do you think your price of your cost of gain is going to be? And the problem is the booking out is pretty tough to do, because the bottom line is a lot of these cash prices, the disparity between the cash and front month futures is so large. But from a technical standpoint, really, when I look at live cattle, you still have an uptrend in place. But I'm getting a little bit concerned that the trader does not want to be 100% committed for instance, to make a new all-time highs. I thought that we could for a while this year. I think cattle on feed is going to be extremely bullish moving forward because the numbers were so high September through December last year. That means that you're probably going to have some pretty low-looking numbers this year. I don't think the trader wants to get super bearish in front of those, but I think they're running out of enthusiasm to stay long.
But I have to look at that contrarily and think, if they're short everything else on grains, why would they not continue to go long on live cattle?
Yeah,
because
I mean,
it's been a winner for them.
It's been a winner for them, but at some point, whenever the cost of corn comes down, many times you will see the price of proteins trend lower. Now, the producer can make a lot of money with cheap corn, correct? But the bottom line is, a lot of times you'll see when the price of corn comes down, historically, you'll see cattle follow suit eventually. And so, yes, the numbers are going to be tight. We know that. From a fundamental standpoint, this is really the best thing that we've had to talk about for months, right? I mean, it's been the most bullish, most fun thing to discuss, and I've enjoyed discussing this. But at the same time, I think it's getting long in the tooth as far as this market goes.
Not been very fun to discuss the hog market, though.
No, it hasn't. The hog market, you know, when we got into triple digits here just, what, 6-8 weeks ago, I said, you know, I just can't imagine trying to buy triple-digit hogs in here. What have we seen lately? We've seen sows going to market. We've seen production go up significantly. I don't look for any big Chinese demand coming up. I just, I'm very concerned about hog prices. I think they could stabilize in here, especially with the cattle market staying fairly well supported. If the cattle market stays supported, I don't think hogs are just going to plummet. They've already done their plummet, in my opinion. I think they find some support down here, but I'm still not bullish.
Do you see any opportunity to turn bullish in hogs before you see the bearishness set in cattle?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
I think that if you would see cattle run up, let's say cattle run up with a really bullish cattle on feed report, which I think we get, if you saw them run up significantly, then I think you could see hogs go up. If cattle go down, I don't see hogs going up.
I hate to put you in a tough spot, but I had to. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate
it. Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, Matt Bennett, everyone. We are going to pause this analysis, continue our discussion about these markets in our Market Plus segment. You can find both analysis and plus on our website of markettomarket.org. YouTube is the first place this program appears. Stay in the loop by subscribing to our channel, clicking on the bell to get notifications of new content, and let the technology work for you. Find us at Market to Market on YouTube. Next week, honoring the tradition of cheese making. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great week.